Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's episode is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. In particular, I want to thank Arnold, Linda, and Lisa, who all sent me a donation via the P.O. Box. P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. And you can also send one-time donations to support.greatdetectives.net or become an ongoing Patreon supporter at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, October the 11th of 1945. And this one is called The Imitation Diamond Bracelet.
Everybody. On stage, everybody, please.
Hey, Blackie. So this is what it looks like backstage at Carousel, huh?
That's right, Shorty. Only it's Carousel.
Same thing. Only you pronounce it awful funny.
Say, Faraday would like it here. He's been on the merry-go-round for years.
And we're really going to see a big star in the show.
She's a star in my book, Shorty. Actually, she's understudy, the leading lady.
Yeah? Is that good?
In the biggest musical hit on Broadway, nothing is bad. Here's the bell we want.
Gee, I'm really going to see a real live Broadway star.
Want me to hold you up, Shorty?
No, I'm leaning on something.
Hello, Iva. Mind a visitor or two?
Blackie, how are you? Come on in.
Thanks, Iva. Iva, this is my friend Shorty. Shorty, Iva Withers.
Oh, hello. How are you? Gee, a real Broadway star.
Not exactly, Shorty. Blackie, you remember my cousin Dick Ainsley, don't you?
Oh, yes. Hello, Dick. How are you?
Blackie, I think I'll have a look around.
Huh? All right, but don't go far away.
Okay.
Well, Iva, you miss me?
What do you think?
That's what I like, a nice direct answer. How are things at that swank jewelry store of yours, Dick?
Oh, all right.
Well, when they have a really nice big stone in stock, Dick, just let me know, and for half the take, I'll steal it for you.
That's not very funny, Blackie. I was going, Iva. See you later.
Dick, wait!
What's the matter, Dick? What's the matter with him, Iva?
That remark you made about stealing a diamond.
Why, Dick ought to know better than to...
Well, you don't understand, Blackie. There was a robbery at the store last week. Dick was under suspicion. Probably still is.
Oh, I see.
Everything's all right now, though. But Dick feels funny about it. He's always thought a lot about you, Blackie. Maybe you could find out something about the robbery.
Oh, no, Iva, not that. I've given up all interest in stolen diamonds. Unless, of course, I'm the one who stole them.
And now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
I'm sorry I had to refuse your check this morning, Mr. Bernard, but Mr. Marsh...
It's all right, young man. $25,000 in cash wasn't easy to get, but it wasn't hard.
Well, here's your bracelet, sir.
Thank you. Want to look at it, Tom?
Yes, I'd like to.
Now, be careful now. It cost me $25,000.
Oh, it's worth it, sir. Believe me, it's worth it.
It's beautiful. Just beautiful, Harry. Mind if I take it over to the window?
Go right ahead. I'll wait for my receipt.
I've really never seen such luster and diamonds in my life.
It is beautiful, Mr. Bernard.
Well, you had what I wanted, young man. What I want, I get.
It certainly is lovely, Harry. I don't blame you for wanting it. Here.
Do you want me to wrap it, sir?
No, I'll just put the box in my pocket. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
All set, Tom?
Anytime you are, Harry.
I'll open the door for you. $25,000 bracelets deserve some consideration.
Thank you. On behalf of me and the bracelet.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. After you, Tom.
All right.
Oh, by the way, young man, in case I want to buy something here again, whom shall I ask for?
Well, my name is Ainsley, sir. Richard Ainsley.
Fine. I'll come see you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, Harry, I hope you're happy. Where to now?
Across the street to Gallagher's to have the bracelet appraised. I think I made a good purchase, but I'd just like to make sure.
visit Marcher's, gentlemen?
I bought it. My friend here believes you can take it with you.
I'm going to try.
It's a beautiful piece of work. Very beautiful.
What would you people here at Gallagher say it was worth?
For what it is, a great deal. It's a magnificent piece of craftsmanship.
Hmm?
Of course, you know it's an imitation.
It what?
But a lovely one. It's worth at least $400.
Coming, coming.
Hello, Blackie.
Ivor, come in. How nice of you to return my visit so soon.
This isn't exactly a visit, Blackie.
What's the matter, Ivor? You seem upset.
It's my cousin Dick. He's in awful trouble.
Because of that robbery last week?
Not that, Blackie. Something even worse.
Well, tell me all about it. But sit down first.
Thanks.
Now, what's this all about?
Well, Dick sold a $25,000 bracelet to a man this morning. 10 minutes later, the man came back into the store and claimed the bracelet was an imitation, worth no more than $400.
Uh-oh. The old switcheroo, huh?
What do you mean?
That's an old game, Ivor. Your cousin sold a legitimate bracelet to his customer. But somewhere during the transaction, the good bracelet was switched for an imitation. Where's your cousin now?
I don't know. The store's sworn out a warrant for his arrest. He called me on the phone just a few minutes ago. He's hiding.
Who was the customer?
A man by the name of Harry Bernard.
Where did Bernard take the bracelet to find out it was an imitation?
Just across the street from March's, to Gallagher's.
He was back in 10 minutes. Well, that proves the imitation was made to order long before the bracelet was bought.
That doesn't prove Dick isn't guilty.
No, it doesn't. But I won't be able to prove anything until I find out who made that imitation.
Who are you calling?
My friend, Shorty. He knows just about every off-the-record person in town. He might be able to tell me what I want to know.
Blackie, you're going to help Dick?
If I can.
Hello?
Shorty?
Yeah?
Shorty, this is Blackie.
Oh, hiya, boss.
Shorty, who is the best maker of paste jewels in town?
On a level or off it, boss?
Off. I'd like to know who could make an imitation of a $25,000 bracelet so good it could get by anybody but an expert.
Oh, that's easy. Only one guy in town could do a thing like that, boss. It's Sam Watkins. He's got a shop at 211 Front Street where he makes paste jewelry.
Okay, Shorty. I know him, and I'll find out who paid him to make a certain imitation, even if I have to paste him.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Inspector. This is Blackie.
Hooray! So it's Blackie. Look, leave me alone, will you? I have enough trouble already.
You'll have a whole lot less if you listen to me.
A whole lot less what? Brains? Look, Blackie, I'm busy.
Doing what? Making more mistakes?
My only mistake was not slapping a charge on you years ago and making it stick. So whatever you're going to tell me, I don't want to hear.
Now listen to me, Faraday.
I didn't want to hear it.
It's important.
I don't care what it is. Now don't bother me.
All right, Inspector. Goodbye.
Blackie, wait.
For what?
What do you want to tell me?
Nothing.
Oh, come on, Blackie. Don't hold out on me. What do you know?
What do you know, Inspector?
I know you're driving me nuts. Now, look, I don't have all day.
All right, Faraday. It's about this Dick Ainslie case.
What do you know about that?
You're looking for Ainslie as the man who engineered the switch.
That's right.
As usual, Faraday, you're wrong.
Yeah, I suppose you know who switched that bracelet.
No, but I'm going to find out. And you're going to find out at the same time. See how good I am to you?
Not yet, I don't. What do I have to do if I didn't know I was going to be sorry about the whole thing?
You have to meet me at the corner of River Boulevard and Front Street in 30 minutes. And offhand, I'd say it was pretty important for you to be on hand.
Yeah, who is it?
Boston Blackie.
You got the wrong place. Beat it, bud.
I'm looking for Sam Watkins.
He ain't here. George Lockman's gonna stay that way.
Open up, Sam. I know it's you.
No fool, Inspector Faraday, Blackie. I'm indisposed.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, that door was locked.
I know. Oh, isn't it awful how locks can get picked?
What do you want, Blackie?
A little information. I understand you made a pretty good imitation of a $25,000 bracelet.
Maybe you understand. I don't.
An artist ought to be proud of his work, Sam. You don't have to be modest with me. I know you're good.
Sure I'm good. But I don't know nothing about it.
It was a March bracelet, Sam. You know the one I mean. You made the imitation, didn't you?
No.
I guess you've got to be coaxed.
It's a
take your hands off of me, Blackie, or I'll...
Did you make that imitation?
I said take your hands off of me.
Oh, you want to play house, huh? Rough house.
Okay, wise guy. I'm going to take you apart.
Better do it fast before you fall apart.
Oh.
Come on. Get up, Sam. Talk while you still have teeth. You made that imitation, didn't you?
Yeah. So what?
So who ordered it?
That's something you'll have to find out for yourself. I don't know nothing about why it was made or who wanted it.
It couldn't be a fellow by the name of Harry Bernard, could it?
Who's he?
He bought the bracelet from a clerk at March's.
Never heard of him. You walk out of here or I will.
Unless I get an answer from you, you won't be able to walk at all. Who paid you to make that copy?
Okay, as long as you're getting tough. It was the clerk at March's, a guy named Dick Ainsley.
Girls' chorus on stage, please. Girls' chorus on stage.
Come in.
Hello, Ivor.
Oh, Blackie, what took you so long?
I called you just 10 minutes ago.
Oh, it seemed like 10 hours. I'm supposed to be rehearsing, but I've been trying to get Dick on the phone. I can't find him anywhere.
Have you tried jail?
Have they arrested him already?
I don't know. Wise guy that I am, I had Inspector Faraday listening outside Watkins' door.
And the inspector said he was going to arrest Dick?
He probably has done it already.
Oh, thank heaven you're here.
Dick, where have you been?
All over town. The police are looking for me everywhere. I've got to hide. You've just got to hide me. I didn't steal that.
We know you didn't, Dick. We know you didn't. But maybe you ought to give yourself up. Just till we prove it.
No, 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 I won't. I'm in enough disgrace already. Before I go to jail, I'll kill myself. Do you understand? I'll kill myself.
And now back to Boston Blackie. When Blackie went backstage to see his friend Ivor Withers at Broadway hit Carousel, he didn't expect trouble. But now he has plenty of it. Trying to prove that Ivor's cousin, Richard Ainsley, is innocent of selling an imitation bracelet in place of a real one. With Faraday listening outside, Blackie forced the man who made the fake bracelet to tell who ordered it from him, and he named Richard Ainsley. Blackie returned to Carousel to see Ivor Withers when Richard rushed in and demanded to be hidden from the police. As we return to our story, we're still backstage. And Ivor Withers is on stage rehearsing one of the songs.
He made him the way that he is, whether he's false or true. And something gave him the things that are his. One of those things is you. Give them to the lad, and anywhere he leads you, you will walk. And any time he needs you, you'll go running there like mad. You're this girl, and he's your fellow.
Blackie wanted me to give you a message as soon as you're through rehearsing.
I'm through now.
He said he wants you to come back to your dressing room. It's important.
Thank you. I'll run through that again in a half hour, Tom.
Okay. I won't go to jail, Blackie. I'm innocent and I won't go to jail.
Shh, not so loud, Dick. Someone might hear you.
Glad you're back, Ivor. Tell me something, Dick. Was Bernard alone when he bought the bracelet?
No, he was with a fellow he called Tom Ward.
Did Ward handle the bracelet?
No. No, he didn't.
Then it's obvious Bernard made the switch himself. Pretty clever, switching his own bracelet.
Oh, wait, Blackie. Ward did handle the bracelet. He took it over to the window for a moment to look at it in the light.
Long enough to have made the switch?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the thing for me to do first is to see this fellow Bernard and ask him a few things about Ward.
Well, what do I do in the meantime?
I don't know. You're going to be a problem. Oh, but ask who it is, Ivor.
All right. Who is it?
Inspector Faraday of the police.
Police?
Tell him to wait a minute.
Just a minute.
I say you were going to be a problem, Dick. You're a problem right now.
You've got to hide me.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Just a minute. Blackie, what do we do?
It's a long shot, but maybe it'll work. Dick, grab one of those dressing gowns and put it on. Quick.
Yeah, all right.
Blackie, that won't...
Hey, I can't wait all day. Open up.
Oh, just a minute.
Okay, I have the robe on. Now what?
Sit at this dressing table here. Put that towel around your head and start putting grease paint on your face. That's it. I'll let Faraday in.
Hey, open up. This is the police. I said open up. This is the...
Blackie, you.
You do everything backwards, don't you, Faraday? You want the carousel so you come backstage.
What are you doing here?
For the moment, annoying you.
You thought you were smart when you had me listen to you and Sam Watkins, huh? I had the goods on Ainsley in the first place. You were just stolen so he could get away.
Faraday, don't tell me somebody got away from you.
Now, Blackie, it's a funny thing. When you interfere in a case of mine, everybody gets lost.
But not you, and that's what bothers me.
So it bothers you. Where's this girl, Iva, with us?
I'm right here, Inspector.
Who's the other girl?
She's in the chorus. She dresses with me.
Have you had any word from your cousin, Miss?
Not even a sound from him, Faraday.
I was talking to Miss Withers. Oh, never mind. I know all I need to know, Blackie. And let me warn you, if you hide Ainsley, I'll slap both of you in jail for harboring a criminal. And don't forget that.
Well, thank goodness he's gone.
Can I get out from under this now?
Better not, Dick. You may come back. You stay here as long as you can. I'll get in touch with you by phone.
Where are you going, Blackie?
To see Harry Bernard or Tom Ward. Or maybe both. One of them switched that bracelet, or, maybe both.
Yes?
Does a Tom Ward live here?
A Mr. Thomas Boynton Ward, yes. Who's calling, please?
Boston Blackie.
Step inside. I'll see if he's in, sir.
Thank you.
This way, sir.
Say, what is this, a home or a museum?
It's Mr. Ward's townhouse, sir.
Townhouse is right. We called a good-sized town.
We like it.
We like it?
We servants, sir.
Oh, brother.
Mr. Ward should be in the library here.
Yeah?
Mr. Boston Blackie to see you, sir.
Tell him to come in.
You may go in, sir.
When you tell me, that's official, huh? Thanks.
Mr. Boston Blackie, sir.
Thank you, Smith.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to see me?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm looking for a man named Tom Ward. There are six of them in the city. I'm trying all of them.
Trying all of them? For what?
I'm looking for the Tom Ward who was with Harry Bernard when he bought a $25,000 bracelet at March's yesterday afternoon.
Then you found him?
You?
Yes. I only met Bernard recently, but I was with him. I was with him when he bought it, when he headed to his, he took it back to March's.
Say, I've seen you before, haven't I? You're the president of the Avenue City Banks, aren't you?
And worse luck, chairman of board, which means I have to work for a living, too.
Well, I guess I owe you an apology, Mr. Ward.
For what?
Well, I came up here hoping to prove that you switched the bracelet Mr. Bernard bought. You know, I haven't been able to find Bernard at all. He isn't in the phone book.
His phone's unlisted.
I see. Whose idea was it to have the bracelet appraised?
His?
Could he possibly have switched the bracelet on the way to the appraisers?
I don't see how. All we did was go across the street.
Did he carry the bracelet in his hand or put it in his pocket?
Why, in his pocket.
He could have had that duplicate bracelet in the March's box already in that pocket, couldn't he?
Well, I really couldn't answer that.
But that is the answer to how the phony bracelet was substituted for the good one. Where does Bernard live, Mr. Ward?
He has apartment 9A at 1011 Riverview. But look here, I believe the clerk at March's is the thief.
That theory is NG. No good, Mr. Ward, because the clerk is NG, not guilty.
Now, the sign says apartment 9A is down this way, Blackie.
Thanks, Shorty. Come on, Faraday.
I don't know why I let you waste my time, Blackie. Dick Ainsley is the man I want.
You want Harry Bernard, and you're going to get him, thanks to me.
Then explain why Sam Watkins said he made the phony for Ainsley.
That needs explaining only to someone as dumb as you. He was covering up for his partner.
What partner?
Bernard. That was a tough bracelet to copy. He wouldn't do the work for less than half the cut.
Yeah, that was a tough bracelet to copy. The phony one looked like it was worth $1,000,000.
Hey, here's apartment 9A, Blackie.
Shorty, you're brilliant.
I am?
Now, you let me handle this.
No, no. I want this done right.
Maybe nobody's home.
The girl at the desk downstairs said Bernard hadn't left all day. I think I can handle this door.
You picked the lock so quick, Blackie.
Amazing what I can do when I try, isn't it, Faraday? Besides, it wasn't locked. Go on, let's go in.
Gee. Boy, sure is a swell journey.
Hope Bernard enjoyed it. Because where he's going to spend the next 5 years, the day corps is...
Look.
Uh-oh.
Gee, boss, he looks a little dead.
Shorty, there's no such thing as a little dead. Like there's no such thing as a little garlic.
It's Harry Bernard. Plenty of identification. All right, Blackie.
Now, wait a minute, Faraday. Wait a minute. This is one time you can't say I killed him. I brought you up here so you could arrest him.
Yeah, that's right. Arrest him? Arrest him? How can I arrest a dead man?
You can't. But you can grab the guy who fired the shot into Bernard.
Yeah, let's go then.
Hold everything. I'm going to see him first. Shorty, you stay here.
What, a dead guy?
I'll be here to keep you company.
The corpse will be more entertaining. Shorty, listen. In about half an hour, the phone will ring. Here's what I want you to do.
Yeah, who is it?
Boston Blackie.
What do you want?
In.
I don't want you in.
Then you'll have to throw me out.
I'm already in. All right. Now what?
Close the door. I think we ought to talk in private.
Okay. It's private.
You're a professional jeweler, Sam, but you're a very amateur liar.
Yeah?
You didn't make that phony bracelet for Dick Ainslie. You made it for Harry Bernard.
What makes you think so?
I always thought so. So I looked up Bernard just now and persuaded him to tell me the truth.
All right. So what if I did make it for Bernard? I didn't know what he wanted it for. I'm in the clear.
You'd be in the clear if I weren't in the know.
Yeah? What do you know?
Mind if I use your phone?
Help yourself.
Thanks.
Who are you calling?
Your friend, Harry Bernard. Butterfield 8790. Is that the right number?
What? What are you calling him for?
Tell him a little bedtime story that should put both of you to sleep in jail tonight.
You can't bluff.
I'm not bluffing, Sam.
Hello?
Hello, Harry Bernard?
Ah, this is Shorty. Sure, I'm Harry Bernard.
Harry, this is Boston Blackie.
Yeah,
I'm down here talking to that friend of yours, Sam Watkins. He made that phony bracelet for you, remember?
Oh, sure.
You had told him you wanted a copy of the diamond bracelet in the window of March's.
Yeah.
But he wanted more than the usual fee for phony jewelry, so you told him your whole scheme. You said you were very friendly with Thomas Boynton Ward, and you were taking Ward with you when you bought the bracelet and went to the appraisers so that you'd have a reputable citizen as a witness from start to finish. And all the time, you had a phony bracelet in your pocket.
Put that telephone down.
Just a minute, Harry.
Yeah.
Guess I'll have to hang up now. Your friend Sam has a gun on me.
Hey, boss,
put that telephone down, Blackie.
Why so belligerent all of a sudden, Sam?
You weren't talking to Harry Bernard.
Hey. How do you know?
Never mind. Oh, I know.
You're right, Sam. I wasn't talking to Harry because Harry's dead and you killed him.
Yeah?
And I know why, too. He refused to give you a big enough cut in the deal, so you killed him, took the real bracelet from him, and probably have to have it right here in the shop.
Put that telephone down.
All right, Sam, I'll put it down. On top of that gun you're holding.
Ow! Okay, I'll get you with my hands. Shoot me first, pal. Oh.
Well, Sam, you were so good at making rocks, let me assure you that from now on you'll be breaking them.
Oh, Blackie, thanks for everything you did for Dick.
Wait, Iva. I want to thank Blackie myself.
I don't want any thanks from either one of you. Just do me a favor, will you, Dick?
Anything you say, Blackie.
Don't get yourself into a spot where you have to look like a girl again. You look terrible.
You know, if I'd used my head, I'd never have gotten into trouble. I noticed that fellow Sam Watkins hanging around outside the store for a week, looking at the bracelet in the window. I thought he was doing a sketch, too.
Doing a sketch, huh? Well, beginning pretty soon, he's going to be doing a stretch.
Thank you. Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Poor Faraday. He was so disappointed when he found out there was no way for him to blame Boston Blackie for this one. It is kind of an interesting dynamic in these episodes, where Blackie essentially has a rotating supporting cast. Some episodes, Blackie won't have any assistant at all, and then in others, it's just Shorty or just Mary. Kind of rare to hear both of them in the same episode at this point in the series. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now, and we have a letter from Arnold. He writes, "Thanks for the programs. When I was a kid, my dad built me a radio. I used to fall asleep listening to it. I loved Escape, Suspense, Lux, etc. Now that I'm older and I have trouble falling asleep, so I went back to listening to the old radio programs. It works like a dream." Well, thanks so much for sharing, Arnold. I appreciate your comments and your support. That'll actually be all for today. Join us tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. And next Tuesday, get ready for the Private Files of Rex Saunders. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.